Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them, but there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'll be speaking about laying hold on eternal life. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." The word "lay hold" in Strong's is number 1949. It comes from some other words which means to seize, for help or injury, for attainment of any other purpose, literally or figuratively. To catch or lay hold or take by holding on. Everyone has the same amount of faith. This faith came from God and it belongs to God. It was given to you to release this into the perfect will of God for your life. The devil tries to get you to believe in lies based on the way you want things to work and on your own understanding for the sake of your flesh. The fight of faith is in your mind. The temptation is to live based on what you can see rather than what you cannot see through the dictates of the Spirit. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which thou wast summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses." The devil does not want you to lay hold on eternal life, as you'll no longer be his servant. Living by faith, you will have a testimony of kingdom living. Using the gift of eternal life, you can come to the truth easily and give the good confession everywhere. Those serving money become prisoners of the devil. John said in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Verse 3, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Verse 4, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Verse 5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Verse 6, "Whosoever abideth in him sins not. But whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Verse 7, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You will easily fulfill God's plan for your life if you have one desire to know God. Be cool under pressure, like Christ, on the narrow way. Serve wherever God puts you. He will manifest through you as you serve. Do not be afraid, as God can warn you of any evil ahead of time. Jesus was given power and authority to destroy the works of darkness, and you can do the same work if you're acting on his authority and following his instructions. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Those who are like Christ now have become a living sacrifice without burning up. Your life will be a mystery to others living in this world. They are serving the devil to maintain a comfortable life. You will have a testimony following Jesus, not relying on anyone else or pleasing men. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 16. This is Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15, the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Verse 16, a wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. The kindly minded are covering up heartfelt sorrows and disappointments from decisions they made with their own mind, with a little bit of laughter. With the gift of eternal life, you can hear God, test everything, and escape evil through the reverent fear of the Lord. The fool gets angry when others do not agree with his opinions or political views, and can start a debate with others. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm reading verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, allow the Holy Spirit to examine your faith to find out if it is contaminated or misdirected in any way. The devil's an expert at influencing God's children to misdirect their faith into ways that seem right. Once he has convinced you to release your faith into a lie, it is easy for him to hinder you from finding the truth or believing it when you do find it. When he succeeds in this endeavor, he has taken you captive. 2 Timothy 2, verse 26b. When you hear a truth, you cannot believe it until you first quit believing the lie you already believe to be truth. Once you recognize the lie and choose to stop believing it, your faith returns to you, and you can release it into the truth. This is how you rescue yourself from the snares of the devil. If you use your own mind to come to truth, then your faith is already contaminated. Concentrate on conviction and repentance from dead works. Using your mind trying to come to truth is a very bad habit. You need to break, based on a confidence in the flesh. Bad fruit will help you identify some dead works. If you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, He will lead you to the root of sin and set you free. The removal of all lies is necessary for you to escape the snare of the evil one. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 6. This is in the book of Romans 8, I'm reading verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The devil uses ways that seem right to keep you believing that you are not a prisoner. Look at your fruit. Using natural discernment, you will believe lies. Only on the narrow way can you have life and peace. James said in James chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is in the book of James chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. The word patience in Strong's is number 5281, and comes from another word which means cheerful or hopeful. Endurance or constancy, enduring patience, or continually patient. The challenges you face daily will not cause you to desire something more in this world. If you process conviction properly, you will realize there are many things you can do without. The truth will set you free and show you the right response to trials and difficulties on the narrow way, and where your faith is misdirected or lacking. The wisdom of God is available too for those living on the narrow way, taking up your cross daily. Those holding tightly to the truth develop patience, for He is faithful. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfastly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. God is holding back the consequences of sin to give you more time to repent and get you to the root of sin. Sin is what separates you from God and His provision. So conviction has top priority. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The word put away in Strong's is number 142, a primary verb which means to lift, by implication to take up or away, figuratively to raise the voice or keep in suspense the mind, specifically to sail away, that is to weigh anchor. And compare this with the Hebrew word which means to expiate sin, away with, or bear it up, or carry it, or lift up, or lose, or make to doubt, or put away, or remove. Those using their minds trying to do His perfect will are on a way that seems right. You may be ignorantly using your own mind, but those using the gift of eternal life have a fresh testimony every day of how He provides for them, when they ask God, because He is Lord. The grace is there, so you do not come out immediately. If you feel a grieving of the Spirit, stop what you are doing and learn from your mistakes. Conviction is a blessing. The Church of Ephesus was a port city, and Paul used the term put away, meaning to set sail. Unbelief is a bad fruit, like an anchor, keeping you bound and hindering your faith. You need to weigh anchor through deep repentance. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21, I'm reading to verse 29. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 26, be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that which needs. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The root of all unbelief is a lie that you chose to believe for the sake of your flesh. The bad fruit manifesting in Ephesus was coming from serving earthly gain and using natural discernment, keeping them a slave to sin. You have to use the new nature and let him make the right decisions instead by the Spirit. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 to 36. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and shall not see it. Verse 23. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Or go not after them, nor follow them. Verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 31. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Verse 33. Whosoever therefore shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Verse 34. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men, one in a bed and the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Verse 35, two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 36, two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Right now, those serving the devil are stimulating the economy to keep the world going. Lot's wife looked back briefly and perished. She was told not to do this, but looked because there was something in this world she wanted. You may want the world to go back to the way it was before COVID for the sake of your flesh. The Jews were only looking for a political solution to drive out the Roman Empire. Christianity is not just another religion, allowing everyone to do what they want now that they are born again. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. This is Romans chapter 14, I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The church of Rome got a long letter from Paul reminding them of Christian doctrines. They were following the form of those doctrines, but not using the gift of eternal life to ask more questions. They were telling others about the lordship of Jesus, but their fruit said they had not entered the kingdom of God themselves. Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6 and reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Faith does not work unless it's released into what God says. Faith is not for you to use for something that you want to believe for the sake of your flesh. Rely on the witness of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, your faith will be released into lies disguised as truth. If your life is going around and around, and you keep coming back to the same lessons again and again, you are in a way that seems right. You may have repented of bad works that are obviously evil, but that is all. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The bad fruit in your life will bring you back to doing your first works again. This is your own fault if you are resisting conviction on the narrow way under pressure and not taking time to study. The devil will try to keep you busy with other things when you're trying to process conviction. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Those who see God as a hard taskmaster are listening more to the devil, the god of this world, than they are to the living God. Those who've studied know that they have to lose their free will to be saved. Jesus surrendered his will and let God make all the right choices to overcome the cross. By making Jesus Lord of your life, you will never sin again. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Become a robot for Jesus and the flesh will die. By listening and obeying Jesus all the time, you will lose access to your corrupted soul, but gain access to the new nature. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, and reading verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. In the Living Bible, Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 3 says, so we must listen very carefully to the truths we have heard, or we may drift away from them. For since the messages from angels have always proved true, and people have always been punished for disobeying them, what makes us think that we can escape if we are indifferent to this great salvation announced by the Lord Jesus himself and passed on to us by those who heard him speak? Those who have neglected their salvation for the sake of earthly gain have also neglected the gift of eternal life that came in the package of salvation. Do not lose your soul for some earthly treasure or comfortable lifestyle. You can have a joy pleasing God on the narrow way by hearing and obeying his voice daily. You will lose this joy if you take over the Lordship. Do not replace hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord with dead religious works either. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. This is Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Verse 9. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. For more information on how to establish the peace of God, please read the book Three Infallible Witnesses by Joseph Hedgecock. Your peace must be tested through trials and difficulties to see what sort it is. If you only have the peace of the world, you will perish in the storm that's coming. You should have maintained and established a peace following Paul's instructions here. Paul also said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. This is Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You got peace at salvation because you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. However, that does not mean you are abiding in his kingdom now. If you have taken over the Lordship, you are living in darkness. This is why we have the forgiveness of sins. If you're not functioning like Christ now, when will you get ready? Jesus provided grace and truth, so there's no excuse for not learning obedience. Jesus said in Matthew 7, and verse 21, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Those living in the kingdom of God represent Jesus and the Father, and you can also do this now by obeying the Spirit. Those doing what they want, when they want, will be left behind. They will go through tribulation because they're not willing to pay the price to hear and obey the voice of the Lord now. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22-23. This is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Learn from your mistakes, trying to hear God perfectly in all areas. Those who rely on hearing God only in ministry using the gifts of the Holy Spirit are deceiving their own selves if they're still making excuses for sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm reading verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Eternal life is a precious gift for those who want to serve and represent God now. It's not just a gift so you can live forever and still be Lord of your own life. Start using eternal life now, and you will experience the kingdom of God as it will be when Christ is ruling. We read in John 17, verses 1 to 4. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm starting in verse 1. And these words spake Jesus, lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus completed the work that the Father gave him to do without ever sinning. He overcame the devil and the world and glorified God as the Son of Man. Jesus is able to give eternal life because he used it himself to overcome the cross as well and died for the sins of the whole world. He gives eternal life to those the Father gives him who want to be part of his family, living by faith, following him, and hearing his voice all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You can live devil-free through obedience to the Holy Spirit and make no room for the flesh. Those depending on the Heavenly Father are not listening to the dictates of the flesh. You will never find the narrow way without becoming helpless like a little child. We read in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When Christ's kingdom comes, there will be no time for anyone to prepare at the last minute. There will be preachers, teachers, and administrators, and workers of many kinds needed for 1,000 years. Those who will rule then have learned during their time on this earth to hear and obey him by the Spirit. The preacher of righteousness is important now because time is running out for everyone. Priorities will change in the millennium, and there will be a new way of life not based on the way the world is now. Those who are meek have allowed their mind to be renewed by the Spirit to serve in his kingdom before he comes. Jesus said to his own disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 19 to 21, This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, and you shall live also. Verse 20. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Keep the commandments he gives you by the Spirit, and he will manifest to you. Crowds came to Jesus just for miracles, and he did not manifest to them. He can manifest to those who are born again, but he has to be your first love. We read in John chapter 14, verses 22, and I'm reading to verse 26. This is John 14, I'm reading verse 22. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. A life keeping the commands of Jesus Christ with the gift of eternal life in this world is the only alternative to being selfish and serving sin. By looking after your own interests, you will never follow Christ. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14 and verse 27. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit will actively remind you of Jesus' teachings when you are serving in the kingdom, so that you can represent him in complicated situations. Jesus told his disciples not to be afraid, as this would hinder them hearing his voice. The peace of God that passes all understanding is essential for you to hear what you need to know now. Over a period of time, your mind will be renewed. Through the gift of eternal life, you will receive divine thoughts constantly for you to represent him as you keep his commandments. He will actually think for you. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Eternal life is a precious gift that every child of God has in the package of salvation. The devil has to use different tactics to get his people to neglect, drop, or forsake this gift. In this last generation, the devil has used those in the church with a confidence in the flesh. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Those with knowledge using their mind in the last generation that claim to see are actually blind. The gift of eternal life is not just living forever. If it was, the devil would have eternal life, and he does not. The devil will spend eternity in the lake of fire with all his followers. Those who study at Bible school with a confidence in the flesh often do not know what eternal life is. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, recognize, become acquainted with, and understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Eternal life is a gift received by grace through faith. It is the privilege or the authority to get to know God personally and intimately, living on the narrow way that leads to life. To find the entrance to the narrow way, everyone has to become like a little child. Jesus was speaking in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Leaders using a natural education often find it hard to examine themselves and admit that they have not entered the kingdom of God. They were drawn away by a desire for knowledge that they did not need to walk with God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 1. Would to God that ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Obedience and faith come before knowledge in the kingdom. The devil has used Bible knowledge to appeal to the desires of the flesh in those unwilling to get on the narrow way and trust God first. Once educated by this world system, many leaders become proud and will not endure any correction or conviction from someone who gave up all his credentials to follow Christ, like Paul the Apostle. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. There is an amazing amount of knowledge of both good and evil available on the internet, so that you remain a prisoner to common sense and reason and meet your own needs easily without asking God. That kind of information will not be available when Jesus sets up his throne on the earth. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. This is John's Gospel, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Those able to lead the sheep have learned spiritually to speak and only do what the Father is telling them to do or say. This is what brings glory to God and nothing else. The devil has many alternatives to keeping God's commands. The devil does not have to work hard. If you have doubts about God's faithfulness and want to believe the lies you want to believe, the devil can even assign a demonic spirit to keep you a prisoner if you insist on believing the lies for the sake of your flesh or religious beliefs. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 24 to 28. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Jews refused to believe and follow Christ. Jesus directed them to evidence that proved he is the Christ, and the fruit in those following him. You do not become a sheep just by being born again. You have to hear, get to know God, and follow him using the gift of eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, this is verses 28, I'm reading to verse 32. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go, work today in my vineyard. Verse 29, and he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30, and he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31, whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Verse 32, John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. Those following Jesus have a ringing testimony of God's kingdom. Get to know him and hear his voice. They experience divine appointments through God's grace and mercy. Everyone starts in the beginning and follows the same simple instructions at the beginning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This was taken from Charles Finney's biography and is his account of salvation. He said the Spirit seemed to lay stress upon that idea in the text. When you search for me with all your heart, the question of when, that is of the present time, seemed to fall heavily into my heart. I told the Lord that I should take him at his word, and that he could not lie, and that therefore I was sure that he heard my prayer, and that he would be found of me. He then gave me many other promises, both from the Old and New Testament, especially some most precious promises respecting our Lord Jesus Christ. I never can in words make any human being understand how precious and true those promises appeared to me. I took them one after the other as infallible truth, the assertions of God, who could not lie. They did not seem so much to fall into my intellect as unto my heart, to be put within the grasp of the voluntary powers of my mind. And I seized hold of them, appropriated them, and fastened upon them with the grasp of a drowning man. You should have realized that without God you are completely lost. By laying hold on eternal life now, you can be changed and become his workmanship without doing any dead religious works of your own. At salvation, you should have felt like you were drowning in sin and helpless to save yourself just before you are being born again. You are not saved by your own efforts or by saying a correctly worded prayer either. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, this is in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be? Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh will never please God, so it must die. Once you are born again, use God's precious promises to stop feeding the flesh and live by faith. Those who see Christianity as just another religion hear a wrong voice and only hear what they want to hear. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders in John 5, verses 38 to 40. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And ye will not come to me, that you might have life. If you're making excuses for disobedience, then his word is not abiding in you. The religious leaders were not relying on grace and conviction to lead them to the truth, and endlessly searching the scriptures as a result. What you have believed through reading and searching the scriptures using your own mind will hinder you from coming to Jesus as a little child. You need to make a fresh start and rely on conviction to know what you need to know now. Through grace and truth, you will be convicted but not condemned, so you can learn by the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, you are his workmanship. The word abiding in you through the Holy Spirit should be transforming your life even now. Those in the flesh that resist change through unbelief are living in darkness. If you believe, you get help to repent and serve, because the kingdom of God is here now. Your life in Christ is also the assurance or hope of salvation. Jesus said this to the disciples in John 14, verses 1 to 6. This is John 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has not reserved a place in heaven for you just because you are born again. Christ reserved a place in heaven for those disciples who were in the upper room, apart from Judas Iscariot. All those who overcome trials and difficulties using the promises of God by faith get a place too. They use the gift of eternal life to do the will of God consistently and ask God more questions. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 19. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18. A good tree cannot bringeth forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep, and will not allow the devil or false prophets into the sheepfold. It's your responsibility not to go outside of the sheepfold without following Christ. You should only follow someone walking on the narrow way. This is not someone who is just doing ministry in Jesus' name with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Those who've entered the narrow way have the right fruit, using the gift of eternal life now. Church leaders using their own minds to make decisions for the sake of their flesh and telling others to do the same will have to repent or perish. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those who have life come to Jesus and depend on him for daily instructions regarding basic food and clothes. The world can creep back in slowly when you stop asking God in any area. There is no protection from evil for you if you do not ask God every day what to do. The devil is the god of this world, giving people what they want, so they sow to the flesh and reap destruction. The time you spend thinking about tomorrow will not help. Just ask the Lord what you need to do and make a list if necessary. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 24, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Those free from condemnation hear and obey whatever Jesus is telling them to do consistently. It does not matter what spiritual level you are at now, because God sees in fullness. Just trust and obey the voice of Jesus. He knows if you keep going on the narrow way, then you will be like Christ. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 to 26. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The word walk in Strong's is number 4748. It comes from another word which means to range in regular line, to march in military rank, keep step, that is figuratively to conform to virtue and piety, or walk orderly. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in 2016 reprint version, on Chapter 6, on Becoming Spiritual, on page 69, Joseph Escott writes, in the beginning of your spiritual walk, you must learn to abide in the Spirit without having to do anything. If you try to do things in the Spirit before you learn to simply be in the Spirit, you will fail every time because your spiritual foundation has not been properly laid. As you abide in the Spirit, you learn to rest in a spiritually controlled environment. It is in this place that you develop sensitivity to the Spirit and learn to be comfortable with Him ministering to you and giving you simple instructions. He will show you how to grow up spiritually. It is important to rest in Him as a baby Christian, because this is your safe place. The devil has no access to you when you are in the Spirit. Those who walk in the Spirit are like soldiers walking in rhythm to the prompting of the Holy Spirit all the time. You can make an effort at church meetings to humble yourself and get in the Spirit. By learning to say the right things, you're just becoming a hypocrite. Even humbling yourself and getting in the presence of God by grace and coming out again, you are not learning. You should stay longer each time if you repent of something. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse 16. "And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace." Verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The purpose of the law was to lead everyone to Christ and help them realize they were not living by faith or directed by the Spirit. Choose wisely. The law is still a schoolmaster for those not trusting God with all their heart, learning through grace and truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 21, I'm reading to verse 26. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 21. "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." Verse 22. "But the scripture hath concluded, all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Verse 23. "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." Verse 24. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25. "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Verse 26. "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Bad fruit reappearing in your life is a reason to get to the root of sin. It proves that you are not using the grace to get to the root issue with God's help. If you need to ask more questions, you can, as otherwise, you will believe what you want to believe for the sake of your flesh. Use the gift of eternal life to get answers so lies will not be passed on to the next generation as truth. It's your responsibility to deny yourself and take up your cross daily if you're passionate about the truth. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 10. This is in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Verse 2. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Verse 3. "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Verse 4. "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Verse 5. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Verse 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, according therein, with thanksgiving." Verse 8, "Be aware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verse 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10. "And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." The Colossians had knowledge of the mysteries hidden from those who don't like conviction. They were taught well, but they were now listening to enticing words and not God's wisdom that came from Paul denying himself and taking up his cross daily. This is what happened to the church at the end. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. I'm reading the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16, So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17, Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21, To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Thankfully, Jesus will knock on the door of your heart in these last days to wake you up, but you must respond. Open the door of your heart to God in the difficulties you find yourself in. Share your heart with him and decide you're going to follow him using the gift of eternal life no matter what. If there is any nakedness in you, now is the time to pay the price to follow him. Allow the difficulties on the narrow way to stretch your faith and understanding. These challenges in your life God will use because he wants a bride that is spotless, clothed and ready for his appearing. Everyone has a spiritual temperature, and you can ask God if you're hot, cold or lukewarm. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus called the religious leaders vipers because they were using the knowledge of the law in their minds to say all the right things. They were told to produce the right fruit through personal conviction and repentance, and not to mislead anyone else. Jesus said they were going to be judged on every idle word they spoke. If you are born again through conviction, you can come to the truth on many things in your own life, change, repent, and grow spiritually. We read in Matthew 15, verses 10 to 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defiles a man. Verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Verse 13. And he answered and said, Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If you fall into a ditch and hurt yourself, do not blame anyone else in the church. Save yourself first. It's good if you bang your head and scrape your knees, as a result of following a false prophet. God can use the memory of getting hurt to remind you again and again of the lies you chose to believe for the sake of your flesh, and warn others. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do not deceive yourself. You may know how to give good things to others and still be evil according to Jesus. If you want to fulfill the law and depart from evil, you need to start by trusting God with all your heart. He will direct your paths perfectly. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You should respect those who've applied the teaching they've received through sound teaching and become doers of the word. Those who studied the word through conviction and godly sorrow on the narrow way prepared a way for you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 to 14. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says, For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through with many acute mental pangs. Paul was writing to Timothy at the end of his first letter and told him that he was losing his grip. It is possible that Timothy did not notice what was creeping into the church at that time through the love of money, bringing unnecessary pain, heartache, and sorrow. All the evil in this world originates from the love of money in the hearts of those who do not have a heart after God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 to 39, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. The word worthy in Strong's is number 514, probably from another word meaning deserving or comparable or suitable, as if drawing praise, due reward, or becoming unworthy. In this life, you need a heart after God. Let him set the priorities for your life using the gift of eternal life. If you do, then you'll be drawing praise from God. You gain your soul by following Christ, but you can also lose it again if your priorities change again afterwards. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Paul saw how God selected those scattered in the persecution for the spreading of the true gospel to the Gentiles, because they were vulnerable and helpless. In the beginning, the gospel spread through those with the right priorities, not seeking better living conditions in the countries where God put them. They had no agenda other than to do the will of God. We read in Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. This is in the book of Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 14. And I'll be found of you, and says the Lord, I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I cause you to be carried away captive. If you're not seeking God with the gift of eternal life, other things will lay hold and fill your heart. The joy and peace at salvation is often referred to as a honeymoon period, when the grace of God is used up as an occasion to the flesh. Christ never sinned by denying himself and taking up his cross daily, and you can do the same. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, and reading to verse 6. This is 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The Jews scattered were not running away from problems in their homeland. They applied the apostles' teaching, even though they lost jobs and homes, as a result of giving the good confession that the Jewish leaders had rejected the Christ. They were scattered and had to work in foreign countries, taking simple jobs that no one else wanted, just to feed their families. They were able to rejoice despite their difficult circumstances. They were told their faith in God is precious in such a situation, and not trust in uncertain riches or a way that seemed right. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. This is 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of Man is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Verse 21, little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. You should be born of God, not just born again. There's a difference. Those using the gift of eternal life, doing the will of God by the Spirit, are born of God. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, and action. It's your responsibility to get on and stay on the narrow way that leads to life. No one else can do this for you. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You either seek God with all your heart, or you end up believing lies again for the sake of your flesh. God used those scattered in the persecution as vessels of honor to give the good news. Their new circumstances meant they had to lay hold on eternal life and use it. They may never have done that if they stayed in Jerusalem. If God has granted you repentance in the same way, he is not going to make it easy for you to live in the flesh. You have to overcome by seeking God with all your heart consistently. He will give you time to study and quality time with him each day if you want to be found in him. James said in James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is James chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. False prophets in the church will tell you the broad way leads to life. Leaders on the narrow way that you should be following are easy to recognize. They can have more fun when everything is going wrong than most can from doing what they want, when they want, on the broad way. John also said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as if you heard, the Antichrist shall come. And even now there are many Antichrists, whereby you know that it's the last time. The Antichrist spirit is in all those who use their minds trying to understand the things of God. Those trained in Bible school promote teachings and doctrines that allow everyone to do what they want when they want. They often say God gave you a brain and he expects you to use it. John continued in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come. And even now already, it is in the world. John was referring to those who had gone out of the church into the world, serving two masters. Many will not accept in their hearts that Jesus came in the flesh and had no advantage over us. He stripped himself of all his divine nature and functioned by asking God everything. He never sinned and was able to still function as the Word manifested in the flesh throughout his time on this earth. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've spoken to you about laying hold on eternal life. I hope you know that this is the lifestyle that you have been called to. You've been summoned by eternal life to live a life for Him. To not do anything of your own self, but to trust Him with all your heart and listen to the Father. Your life can be an expression of the Father. You can be like Christ. It's possible. And you need to believe in your heart that you can do this without ever leaning to your understanding again. God is going to put thoughts in your mind. He's going to renew your mind as you trust Him with all your heart. He's going to direct your paths as you trust Him. And today, you've heard a message from many scriptures pointing to you to the need to lay hold on eternal life. My prayer is for you right now to make that decision to get on the narrow way. If you do, then there will be trials and difficulties, and these will strengthen you, and you will be encouraged as you see God's provision. You will live life to the full, and you'll be free. Let me pray with you. Father, right now, those who have any doubts about your love for them, you want the best for them, and I pray that they will be convicted through this message and realize that they don't know that you really love them. But if they will humble themselves now and listen to what you want them to do in complicated situations, that, Father, they will see your love for them as they trust you with the solutions that you provide. And, Father, wrap them in your love, that they know that they have pleased you by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. Please get in touch. God bless you, and thank you for listening today. In Jesus' name.